2 Kings 23, and we'll pick up here at verse number 28. 2 Kings 23, verse 28. The Bible says, "Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? In his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates, and King Josiah went against him, and he slew him at Megiddo when he had seen him, and his servants carried him in a chariot dead from Megiddo, and brought him to Jerusalem, and buried him in his own sepulcher. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him, and made him king in his father's stead." All right, so once you take your Bible, let's get more background about what happened here. Go to 2 Chronicles 35, 2 Chronicles 35. 2 Chronicles 35 and verse number 20. 2 Chronicles 35, verse 20. 2 Chronicles 35, verse 20. The Bible says, "After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him, saying, 'What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not.' Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself, that he might fight with him, and hearken not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, 'Have me away, for I am sore wounded.' His servants therefore took him out of that chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died and was buried in one of the sepulchers of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah, and Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. And all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah in their lamentations to this day, and made them an ordinance in Israel, and behold, they are written in the lamentations. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness, according to that which was written in the law of the Lord, and his deeds, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah." You know, Josiah was one of the best kings, if not the best king, that Judah and the land of Israel ever had. In fact, the Bible said, that we just saw earlier, look, your Bible says in 2 Kings 23, the Bible says, verse 25, "And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him." He stood alone. He stood out. Josiah was a great and good and righteous king. The land needed him. God used Josiah to blunt the wrath and judgment God was going to bring down. God was going to bring this, because of what had happened, because how Judah had let themselves get to, because of all that Manasseh did, God was going to bring judgment upon them. But you know what? Josiah deferred that for a while. His heart was correct before God. When he got a hold of the scriptures there, the word of God, he rent his clothes. He got tore up. He literally cleaned house throughout the land. Held a Passover, the likes of which they had not held since the times of the judges. I mean, Josiah was so beneficial to the country. He helped stave off for a while the judgment of God falling. He was a good man. But you know, he had never yet, though, been in battle. And what a lineage of kings he had behind him. Warriors. Well, I mean, even a man as wicked as Ahab, you got to at least give him that he had some courage to him. Ahab would go to battle. Ahab would go to battle. There's a bunch of messed up kings, both in Israel and Judah, but they had some courage to them. They weren't cowards. They'd go to battle. Now they did. But Josiah had never tasted that, because it wasn't God's will for him to taste of it. All right? But you know, Josiah is a man all through and through to do what he did. What a man he was. But never been to battle. And he wants it. He wants it. But God has not directed him so to do. And we're going to talk about this a little bit. But you know what happens? Because of his rashness, because of him doing what he wanted here, Judah is going to lose one of the best kings they've ever had and needed, all because of a desire for some personal glory. You say, well, personal glory. Well, he wasn't fighting the Lord's battle. God didn't tell him to do that. God didn't send him to do that. This is for some personal glory. It's going to cost him. Jeremiah laments when Josiah dies. Because look, I mean, Jeremiah, he saw all these bad kings, all this corruption going on. Here's a good man. He's needed. But he blows it. He blows it. You know something? And y'all have heard me mention before, there are two kinds of courage. There's physical courage and there's moral courage. Now we need both. We need both. Physical courage is the kind of courage that will enable a man to, you take like in the Civil War, will enable a man to charge against breastworks where they're laying out there with their weapons there and just go right in or storm a cannon right in the teeth of it. That's physical courage. And we need that. But then there's moral courage. And moral courage is doing what's right, even though it costs you, even though your reputation gets assailed. That's moral courage. Let me give you an example of it. Ulysses S. Grant had a lot of physical courage. He really did. He really did. Nobody ever accused him of any kind of cowardice or anything. But Ulysses S. Grant made a statement. He said, when I was a young man, he said at the time of the Mexican War, which he participated in, he said, at that time, I felt that it was nothing but a blatant land grab, a political move, a blatant land grab. He said, but I had not the moral courage to stand for my views and how I felt. Now, he did have the physical courage to obey his country and go down there and fight, and he won brevets for bravery. Best of my knowledge, he was breveted for bravery. Grant had courage. But he said, I didn't have the moral courage to take the stand on the issue that I felt I should have taken. I think he would have still obeyed his country. He would have gone down there. He was a soldier. He graduated from West Point. But to take that stand and say, ain't right. It's a land grab. That's all it is. We are trying to justify it, and we're grabbing land, and that's all there is to it. And he said that's how he felt, but he didn't have the moral courage to say anything about it. What I'm saying to you is there's two kinds of courage, and we need both. We need both. Josiah had much moral courage. That man cleaned house throughout the land. He did the right thing. But you know what? He's never had a chance to manifest physical courage. But God didn't put him in that realm, and he doesn't need to worry about it. But he wants it. So here he goes. And you know what happens? They lose one of the best kings they've ever had. Seems he wanted a reputation also as a warrior. As a warrior. Listen to me. You cannot help for good, bad, or whatever the day and the hour you live in. And it's good that we can draw inspiration from men who have gone through different circumstances in the past. But if we're not in those circumstances, well, that can't be helped. And what you need to know, you and I need to know, is where we are, the day and the hour we're in, and respond accordingly. I was talking to Brother Ken there a while ago, McDonald a while ago, about, you know, the men of Issachar were men who knew the times. And we've got to be men who know the times that we're in. And we can see things, we can be like, wow, but I've never been tested in that way. Okay, you haven't. Maybe you will someday. I don't know. But you better not seek it just for your own vanity and pride. Do the duty of the hour. Yes. Seriously, y'all. Seriously. Don't forget that. Or you can really get yourself in a fix. Listen, if you're a fix, look here. Listen. It's good. It is good to read about, okay, things that have happened to those martyrs of the faith years ago and what is happening to some folks in some countries even now for the cause of Christ. But you can't go around going, I feel so ashamed. I'm not going through that. what are you supposed to do? Okay, so it's not your lot. All right, you should pray for those brethren. You should do what you, but what are you supposed to do? Pull up stakes and go, I'm just going to put myself in a Muslim country. I'm going to do it just to show my, with outside of God directing you, you're a fool. You're a fool. Look at Josiah. God's not in this that he's getting ready to do. You can't be driven. You cannot be driven by something like, well, I just feel so, I mean, they're going through that and I'm not going through. That is, you don't get driven by such, you don't let such a force drive you. You can't. Because the impetus for that is you are not feeling worthy, or your pride, or your even your spiritual pride or whatever. Listen, what's the task at hand? Do it. Amen. Where are you at? Where does God have you? Be faithful there. And if circumstances ever arise that you're in something like that, ask God to help you be true and stay true. And as they come up, you understand that? Listen, there's a balance to all things. We cannot deny that the church and God's people have always thriven, has just thrived under persecution. That's the truth. Yet at the same time, we cannot deny that Paul said, pray for kings often, Lord, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life. Okay, so look, you don't go down like, just bear with me, okay? You don't go, I've never faced the rack. I hope you don't. I hope you don't. Oh, I don't. But I know that if such things ever happen, I've got a God who promised me certain things, who promised me grace, who promised me. But brethren, you can't hang your head to like, well, I'm just, okay. No, you can't do that. Now, I'll say this. We should let it temper us that, like, you know something? I probably shouldn't get as torqued out over some of the things I'm going through compared to what some things have gone through in this. That should temper us, all right? But not to the point of feeling unworthy or getting down on yourself or feel like you need to prove yourself. You understand? Daily, do right by God. Walk with him. You don't know what lies ahead in any way, either way, whether good or bad. Listen, there have been some saints, faithful saints, that died being burned at the stake, died being hanged, drawn, and quartered. And there are some faithful saints for God who died peaceably in their bed. You understand? You leave those matters in God's hands and just be ready and faithful to whatever he calls us to ever do. Now listen, another thing I want you to notice here about this deal with Josiah and Pharaoh Necho. Think about it from Josiah's standpoint. Surely it was right to oppose someone like Pharaoh Necho. He's the king of Egypt, huh? You know, Egypt. Especially since he was shortcutting and, as it were, trespassing through the land. I mean, that remember Megiddo, you know. But sadly, it wasn't the right thing to do. I mean, think about it. Look what Necho says. Look what he says. He says, go back to 2 Chronicles 35. Go back over there a minute. 2 Chronicles 35. And look what he says there real quick again. I mean, this is a king of Egypt. What does he know about God? What does he know about serving God? Oh, he's a king of Egypt. 2 Chronicles 35. And he says over here to verse 21, he says, Josiah, he says, what have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee today, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste, forbear thee from meddling with God who is with me, that he destroy thee not. What does the king of Egypt know about God? And what God wants. And the will of God. Huh? The king of Egypt. What? Listen. Josiah's getting ready to meddle with strife not belonging to him. And when you do that, you're like one taking a dog by the ears. He's getting ready to do that. And think about how easy it is to justify this in his mind. I'm of the people that know God. We are the chosen people of God. Look, I've just cleaned this land of idols. We've got a Passover to God like none that's been held since the time of the judges. And this king of Egypt's going to talk to me about God and the will of God? Oh, no, 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 no. I'm going against him in battle. Look at this, 2 Chronicles 35, verse 22. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him. And hearken not unto the words of Necho. Look, from the mouth of God. From the mouth of God. Listen. Be careful. Just because you walk with and follow and obey God does not mean that you have a monopoly on understanding and knowing His will. Especially His will for others. You understand? Just because you love God, walk with God, follow God, it does not mean you have a monopoly on the mind and will of God. I'll say it again, especially for others. Be careful. Josiah should have at least sought God about this, but we don't see that he did. Perhaps he didn't want to. Because if he'd have really sought God, he'd have heard, Josiah, don't do this. I'm not in this. This is not what I want. See, brethren, look here. When your mind's made up, you don't pray. Or if you do, it's a token deal. So that, because you know somebody's going to ask you, did you pray? So you can say honestly, yeah. Yeah. I prayed. Sure, I prayed, yeah. And you can look them dead in the eye. But who are we kidding? But that's the thing about God. There ain't no, man alive, there's no fooling God. Brethren, we're talking about somebody who knows us. He knows when you that you can, though you cover yourself externally, God says, I know you. I know what you intended. I know the things you're, I know the whole deal. So Josiah, he goes and he goes, and we don't see him seeking God because, again, he doesn't want to. He wants to do this thing. Be careful. When you have done right, there's a tendency to feel like you can reward yourself with a little skating a little bit. A little slack. You understand? When you have done right and come through a battle, there's danger afterwards. There's danger afterwards because often we feel like we have a right to indulge ourselves with a little something. With a little something for us. Because this is not the Lord's battle. This is not for the glory of God. This is for Josiah. And by the way, brethren, I'm not cutting a man down. What a king he was. What a king. Man, what a man of love, God. But it happened. And it's written for our admonition and to help you and I. And brethren, when you've done right, when you've passed a test or two, be careful. Because there's great danger there. How many have you not even just out there in the secular world? Maybe have you ever can you remember some of those times when maybe in school or whatever you did halfway right? Maybe you studied or you did maybe there was a stretch of block of time there you really did and you felt fairly good about that and you're like I've earned some mess up time. We might not say it, but back in there, there's a part of us is like you know what. I've earned some skate time. I've earned some little time. And brethren, though we would probably never dare say it, there's a tendency in our flesh to feel like, you know what? I've earned a little me time. I've earned a little me time here. Because this is for Josiah's glory, not the Lord. He should have sought God about this, but he didn't. Listen, don't assume a thing is right without seeking confirmation from prayer and the Word. Let me say this. Don't assume that God can only use you and your crowd. God's usage of someone is not necessarily God's stamp of approval of them or their doctrine. Just because God uses someone doesn't mean he approves just like a blanket statement of approval across the board. God used Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar had false gods and didn't know the Lord. God used Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt here. That doesn't mean God is approving of him, that this man's doctrine is right, that this man is a stalwart man of God. No, it's God just using him here. Because he's God. He can do that. So, brother, look here. Eat the meat, throw away the bones. Eat the fruit, throw away the peel. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Listen, if a right statement gets made by someone, then it's a right statement. That doesn't mean everything about the person or their doctrine is correct. But if something they said or did is right and it lines up with the book, okay. But that don't mean you buy into everything. You and I are to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And be careful about that. Be very careful. Look here. Don't make more or less of a situation than it is. Listen, appreciate the ark for what it is. What are you talking about? Well, you know what I'm talking about. Children of Israel, they're going to battle. And they said, get the ark, get the ark, get the ark. Get the ark, it will save us, it will save us. You're done in at that point. You're done. God used the ark. God used the ark before. God used the ark again. The ark had power to it because God's presence there. But there's no way now. Because guess what they said? It. Not God. They said it. We need that ark. Not God. We need the ark. So there they go with the ark. And God lets the ark get taken. God says, forget it. I'll let it. Well, what about God's reputation? He has no trouble defending his own name. He'll just send some emeralds and some flies and some diseases and everything. It's just take care of that stuff and everybody's all, you know, really. They're like, get this out of here, get it out of here, get it out of here. I mean, God took care of his own. But see, the ark. Brother, y'all look here. Appreciate the ark for what it is. In other words, appreciate church, ministry, denomination, men, whatever. Appreciate the things and men for what they are. But don't make more of it or them than what they are. All right? Don't ever forget that. Appreciate. Well, Paul said, we're helpers of your joy. You know, not domineering over your faith, not lording yourself. Listen, appreciate men for what they can be to you. Appreciate the things that God has set up. But everything always in subjection to his word. And don't make more or less of things than what they are. And I'm going to tell you something, and y'all look here, if you're going to serve the Lord and minister in any way, you're going to find this to be true. How many times have I said it, but I must say it again. People, you will have people that will put you somewhere you don't deserve to be. They'll put you on a pedestal. And you don't deserve it. It's not you. If there's any good and right thing, it's the Lord working through you. But they're going to do it. And as much as you tell somebody not to do it, they will do it. Now the problem is when they find out that you also are flesh, right? And that you have your own struggles or you don't meet their standard, then you go from pedestal to dung under their shoe. You understand? You didn't just de-elevate to, well, you know, no, you become dung under their shoe. And whereas before you could do no wrong, which is not true. Now, you can do no right, which is not true. What do? You accept it as just the way it is. And if you let it destroy you or deter you, you're not going to make it. And if you keep your eyes on men, you won't make it. You keep your eyes on the Lord. You love him. You love the Lord first. Listen, if God calls a man to a mission field, he should be loving the Lord more than those people. If you love the people more, you just have a nice social, socialistic kind of yearning for people. That's okay, you care about them and all that, but that's not going to see you through. You got God's burden for them. That's what'll do it. And you please the Lord. That'll see you through. Because if you give your heart to any person, people in this world, all right, and you're like, I can't believe this. I got done like that. Well, what do you expect? But if you realize I'm following the Lord, I'm doing as unto him, then you can finish your course and you can still love people no matter how you're done. Christ, wilt thou also go away? Will you also go away? Lord, where should we go? Yes, Christ loved his disciples. I won't tell you he loved most of all. He loved the Father.
Yes.
He loved the Father. Love the Lord. And you'll be able to love people as you ought. But brother, look here. It is going to happen, and you've got to understand that. All right? Don't make more of anyone or anything than what it is. Less or more. But you've got to understand, folks, that is going to happen. If you listen to the accolades, it'll destroy you. If you listen to the slander or thought, that'll destroy you. Do right, make right anything God tells you to make right, and press always on with your eyes to the Lord. You just got to understand those things. It's going to come with it. All right. Let me say this to you. Be content with what God has done and is doing with you.
Amen.
Be joyful in who and what you are for God. Let Him use you as you are, as He wants you to be, and for what He wants to do with you. See, we say all for the glory of God, but do we mean that? Do we mean that? Or is it with our visions of what God we think is supposed to do with us so that we get? No. If it's really for the glory of God, then that means however we fit into that clockwork, into that puzzle, into whatever piece we play in it for the glory of God, that's what matters. You know, Brother Jeff, he emailed me this morning, and he's discouraged right now. Because he said, Pastor, he goes, God is really blessed, and our unit was just, man, he said, and now I've got to leave these guys, and I feel like I'm leaving them high and dry. And I talked to him a little bit about, I said, Jeff, I said, brother, I said, when David went from tending those sheep to then Saul's armor bearer, then back to tending the sheep, you know, I said, that's a little bit of letdown. But he knew it was all in the will of God. And then God had up ahead Goliath and ultimately the throne of Israel over the whole nation. But that's hard sometimes to go from here to here to back here. But if it's in the will of God, that's what matters. That's all that matters. All right, look here. Let me say this real quick. Notice he was slain at Megiddo. Well, another battle will take place at Megiddo one day by a righteous king. But this time the king will not disguise himself. He won't put on a disguise. He will come in his glory. And everybody will know who he is. And the cause will be righteous and of God. Go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes was a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, a clothed in fine linen, a clean, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress and fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. That ye meet the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with a sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Amen. And that will take place around Megiddo again one day. But I want you to notice something. Look at Revelation 19, verse 11. says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. See, that's going to be the difference.
Right.
Brethren, there's a lot of wars that have been fought since Genesis chapter 1, when man was made, created. And from that point on, there's a lot of wars have been fought. And you'd probably be hard-pressed to find what a handful of them that can truly be said to be righteous. I'm serious. Because, brethren, look here. What happens is, you've heard the old saying, how many wars is this true of? Rich man's war, poor man's fight. Now, that's just the way it is. But when he comes back in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. Listen, doing right by your country does not mean that you yield up your ability to think. Smedley Butler, General Smedley Butler, was, with a name like Smedley, you're going to have to be tough, huh? Smedley Butler's parents were Quaker, pacifists. And Smedley Butler won the Medal of Honor twice. I believe he got the Medal of Honor twice. No, he got one time. Smedley Butler was one more fighting Marine. He was, Marine Corps General. And Smedley Butler, again, his parents were from Pennsylvania. They were Quakers. How in the world that came about? Anyway, but Smedley Butler was knowing a coward bone in a hitman's body. But he also had a brain. And you know something? General Smedley Butler, during World War II, was an isolationist. What that means is, Smedley Butler felt like in World War II that we need to be careful and mind our business. Smedley Butler said, if Hitler comes against us, I'll meet him on the shore. He said, I'll take him myself. He goes, but, he said, we better be careful about getting ourselves in a fix. You know why? Smedley Butler said, I think over 30 years in the Marine Corps, right? He was a general. He said, I've spent 30 years of my life fighting battles for Standard Oil. That's interesting. Smedley Butler, as he went around, he said, I see what's going on here. He said, we're fighting battles for big business. Now, he's like, but you know what? It's my country. I'm a soldier. What I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'll leave that stuff up. The inner workings of that stuff, leave it up to the kings, leave it up to the presidents, leave it up to the senates, leave it up to the, okay, that's their deal. He said, but I can see what goes on. And you know something, that's the same thing, y'all. Look here, a lot of times, a lot of statements get made that sound real rousing. There's been many a man that's gone into battle and realized, I see what this thing's about. Well, what do you do? Well, you do right. You do right. You're a citizen of a country. As long as they don't tell you to go against the book, you obey. And you leave those things in God's hands. But there's a war coming up that the Lord Jesus Christ leads in, and it'll be righteous. Listen, he makes war not because, where do most wars happen according to the book of James? Somebody wants what somebody else has got. And I'll be bringing it up to you again here soon in what we'll be talking about sometimes. But you know what? Whether it's that nursery in there or whether it's a nation, I want what somebody else has got. That's the truth. Whether it's that nursery or whether it's a nation, I want what somebody else has got. And I'm going to get it. And that's where stuff comes from. But when he comes back in righteousness, he to the judge and make war. All right, let's go back just a minute. Let's go back to 2 Kings 23. 2 Kings 23, verse 31. Jehoahaz was 20 and 3 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. And Pharaoh Necho put him in bands at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and put the land to a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. And Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, and took Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. Look here. With that in mind, go to 1 Kings 16. 1 Kings 16. 1 Kings 16. verse 15. 1 Kings 16, verse 15. In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, did Zimri reign 7 days in Tirzah. And the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. And the people that were encamped heard say, Zimri hath conspired and hath also slain the king. Wherefore all Israel made Omri, the captain of the host, king over Israel that day in the camp. And Omri went up from Gibbethon, and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And it came to pass, when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the palace of the king's house, and burnt the king's house over him with fire, and died for his sins, which he sinned in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, in walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he did to make Israel to sin. 7 days. So he reigned 7 days in Tirzah. Brethren, listen to me. And we see here of Jehoahaz, 3 months there in Jerusalem. Whether days, months, or years, what is time to an eternal God? The best way to make the most of your days, months, and years, yea, your very life, is to make each individual day count for the Lord. Take each day as it comes up. It has been said, and it is so true, y'all, where the devil gets you at is yesterday and tomorrow. Get your past under the blood of Christ. Tomorrow hasn't got here yet. All right? And God has grace for today. Seriously. If you'll live in the light of that, you can make it. I'm serious. Get your past in the blood of Christ. Tomorrow ain't come yet. But that's what messes you up. It's not what you got on the plate today. It's thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow. But it's not got here yet. It's not got here. It may not get here. You may go by way of the grave. The Lord may come back. Situations may change. Deal with it as it comes up, and you can make it. You can make it. But brethren, especially the day where we're in, where it's just so push, 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 run, 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 push, 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 push. You know, Timothy, I was talking to your daddy yesterday, and him and your mama was coming back from Columbia, and they did the same thing me and Sarah did a couple weeks ago. When we had to be up in Columbia, I saw that traffic on 26, and I'm like, I'm coming back some other way. And I got on 176. I said, I'm coming back this way. I don't care if it's slower. It'll be a nicer drive, and I ain't handling all that. Your daddy and mama said they saw that stuff, and they said, oh, no. They hopped off and got on some side roads, the same kind of thing. What I'm saying is, brethren, today everything is so quick, push, boom, 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 go, 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 push, 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 go, go, that you know what? We get in such a mindset that we're rolling ahead for next week, next month. We're already taking all those. We're taking the problems of next week on us when we got enough for today. Right. Brethren, there's enough on the day at hand that if you don't look to the Lord, it can unravel you. Jesus put it succinctly this way, sufficient are the days of evil thereof. Why borrow on tomorrow's troubles when they hadn't got here? It's disobeying the Lord. All right? God will give you the grace for that. All right? He will. But brethren, I'm telling you, the way to make a day count, the way to make a life count, take each day for the Lord. Go to verse 25, 2 Kings 20, 23, verse 35. And Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh. But he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land of everyone according to his taxation to give it unto Pharaoh Necho. So the king is charged with providing this tribute money, and he will tax the people to get it. Come on. That's what you do if you're a king or a power and authority. Somebody says, you're going to pay this? You're like, oh, okay. Well, it's going to trickle down. And he's going to put the burden on the back of the people. That's just what happens, all right? You say, well, so they got to pay for his wickedness. Hold on. They're just as guilty. For they have followed his they have followed his ways. Listen, if the people get upset about this taxation and this burden being placed on them, they must also remember, it wasn't just these kings, except for Josiah. It just wasn't his sons and the kings before him who did wrong. The people did wrong. We forget that sometimes. So many people get upset at whoever becomes the ruler of this land at times. Well, you know what? They better look at themselves. Seriously. People better look at themselves. Listen, even more is this true in a place like America where the people make their choice. You say, well, I didn't make that choice. Good. That'll stand good for you. That'll stand good for you. But as a whole, when people do, well, they're sending a message. They're sending a message. And you got to understand that. And a lot of people say, I can't believe it. I mean, the king's going to tax the people to get this money. Yeah, he is. Sure is. Now, you know what? They've been just as bad. They followed along. Ah, brethren, look here. It's always the same kind of stuff. You can't point the finger about somebody. Let me tell you something. When you didn't raise a protest against it, when you take and you go along, look here, leadership that leads wrong has an accountability. Woe to it. But let me tell you something. When you follow it, you also are accountable. You also are accountable. All right? For not standing up and making it plain where you stand. And you stand against wrong. Whether it be on your job, in your neighborhood, or wherever. At least you can go on record saying, oh, no. No, not at all. Not at all. We'll stop right there. We'll stop right there. Let's pray, brother. Father, thank you for your mercy and your goodness. Dear God, thank you, Father, for what you put down in your word. Lord, concerning the lives of these kings. And dear God, a man like Josiah. Oh, Father, help us to learn, Father, from both the good and the error of Josiah. Father, what a great king he was for the land and the right that he did. But, Father, all that good and yet a desire for a taste of personal glory ended his life and robbed the land of a king they needed. Father, help the lesson to not be lost upon us. Help us to understand it and never forget it and apply it. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.